Okay, we are on actually lesson number 13 of the Timeline of Truth out of, 8,000 lessons or something. Thanks, Pastor Jim, for pinch hitting last week. It was kind of a hard lesson, too, but it came across all right. So let's pray, and then we will jump into this. It's kind of a review first, and then 6 points, two main points with two sub-points, so... We got people out here. Can I help you? Did you need something?
That was the only church I ever tried to get into that was locked all the way around and you couldn't.
Yeah, well, we don't have anyone to watch the doors.
No, that's okay. I was just trying to figure out if there was a church going on here.
Well, we have a Sunday school right now.
When's worship?
We just finished. Yep, that's when we started at 9:30.
Oh, all right. Well, I tugged on the doors, and it was that okay.
You're welcome. Come right in.
That's okay. Well, I might just...
Yeah, come on in. That's a rowdy bunch, but... Almost did, right? You want to hand that back?
Yes, I can.
It's not my note. No, it's... Did anyone else get only a one-sided sheet? That would have been part of the master's. You should have a double-sided sheet, so I must have handed out my master, which is not a problem, but... Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. I pray that you would just help us as we study your word. Thank you for this group that loves you and loves your word so much. And I pray that you would just teach us and grow us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We have 14 points that you can write down. Or is there 15 there?
Yes.
You're on the other side. Okay, good. The number 15 is actually... next week. But let me write these down. This is just a review of where we've been so far. It's not covering everything, just main points in Genesis. So, number one, God creates. Number two, that's chapter one, as you see. God commands. Now, what are we talking about here? In chapter 2, what did God command?
Not to eat of the tree.
Very good, okay? The one command that Adam and Eve had, okay? Number 3, God joins. An idea there? What are we talking about there? Brought Eve to the man, right? Created Eve. Joined them together, right? In the first marriage, if you will. Number 4, Adam eats. Now, why do I say just Adam? He's the one that was commanded not to eat, and nothing happened until he ate. Even though the serpent tempted him and all of that, okay, it wasn't until Adam ate that the eyes of both of them were open. Number 5, God seeks. Adam, where are you, right? God comes looking. What did Adam do? He didn't go looking for God. He hid, right? Okay. 6, God punishes. Okay, he addresses the serpent. He addresses the woman. I say the woman because that's the term. She's not called Eve until at the end. All right, so please don't think that is a detrimental term. He addresses the woman and then he addresses Adam. Right, he punishes each one. God promises. We'll talk about that more today, but he says the seed of the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman will bruise his head. Right? Number 8. God clothes. He clothes them how? skin of an animal, right? Weren't they clothed already? The answer is yes. With fig leaves, right? Right? They sew them. So that's clothes. We're going to talk about the significance again with that. We've covered it, but we'll bring it up again. God expels. What does he do? At the end of Genesis 3. He kicks him out of the garden. Why? Mad at him, take my ball and go home. Is that why? Yeah, so they can't eat of the tree of life and live forever. It's an act of grace. Okay? Because if they ate of the tree of life, they could live forever in a state of sinfulness. All right? Now we're to Genesis 4. Brothers offer. Who are the brothers? First two brothers in the Bible. Cain and Abel, okay. Well, let's see here. What did Cain bring?
Power.
It's on. You should. Cain. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Cain was a tiller of the soil, right? And Abel brought the firstborn of the fat of his flock. So the first and the best of his flock, which would be a blood sacrifice, as the New Testament kind of brings out. God accepted Abel and his offering, the person and his present. He rejected, did not accept Cain and his offering, the Bible says. So what did Cain do? God actually, which is amazing, I heard Pastor Jim bring it out last week, God actually verbally talks to Cain. We don't have that today. Okay, interactive personal conversation from God. We have the Word of God. Okay, but God actually audibly talked to Cain, and Cain was upset. But he was upset that his offering wasn't accepted. What could he have done? Offer an acceptable offering. God was talking to him. Instead, what did he do? Cain kills. Instead of doing right, he even goes further and does even. You want an offering? Here's an offering. How about an Abel offering? You want some bloodshed? Here's bloodshed. And by the way, his blood was shed. His blood was crying out from the ground, God says, right? Number 12, God punishes. How did he punish Cain? Did he let him get by with it? It's interesting. We didn't go, but I could have put God seeks again, because he goes to Cain and he says, where's your brother? And what was his response?
Am I my brother's keeper?
Well, God didn't say this. Well, actually you are. Yeah, the answer is yes, but I know what you've done. Your brother's blood cries out from the ground, right? God, how does God punish him? He cursed him by cursing the ground, right? And then said, you'll be a wanderer, a vagabond. Instead of being able to stick around these people, you will be a wanderer, okay? 13, we're going to talk about this today. Sin spreads. And then number 14, God appoints. Those two points we're going to talk about today. And then 15, which is next week, I'll put it in parentheses here. Mankind multiplies. Chapter 5 of Genesis is a genealogy from Adam to whom? Noah. You can make all kinds of observations out of that, okay? Which we will next week. So, okay? So, mankind multiplies. So that's next week. These two are today. Now, those aren't the points we use, but those are the points we'll cover, okay? All right, so far so good. Everybody get those?
Yeah.
All right. Now, the bold sentences that you have there, this I send out stuff to teachers too. So that's what this is here. There are many details in Genesis 4, 17 to 26 that we are simply not focusing on at present. And I'd like you to turn there, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. Verse 17. It's at the tail end. I'll even start at verse 16. Genesis chapter 4. Sometimes we have it all the text in here, but I didn't do it today. Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 16. It says this, "Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." That even says something, right? He wasn't allowed to interact with God face to face like he was. Wow, okay. "And dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." So he moved out and God said he'd be a wanderer. "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch." By the way, there's more than one Enoch, so don't get caught off here. This is Enoch number one. The Enoch that you're familiar with is Enoch number two. Okay. "Enoch was born to Enoch," excuse me, "and he built the city," Enoch or Cain, we're not sure, "and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch." There's some conversation about whether Cain or Enoch built the city. "To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael. Mehujael begat Methushael, and Methushael begat Lamech." I've never wanted to name my kid any one of those. Verse 19, "Then Lamech took for himself two wives, the name of one which was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah, and Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock." We'll be back at that next week. "His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute." Verse 22, "And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech seventyfold." Excuse me, 77-fold. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." Okay, that's the passage we're covering today, at least parts of it. We'll be back to part of that next week. We're looking at two main points, sin and the solution to sin, okay? Sin, the problem continues and expands. 3 points on the front of your sheet there. Sin began in the garden, right? Talked about when Adam ate the fruit, began in the garden. As far as mankind. Pardon me?
In the Garden of Eden?
Yes. Yes. But I just have the word garden here. Okay? Sin began in the garden. But we're talking about the Garden of Eden. Okay, now we're talking about for mankind. Was there sin before then? I would say yes when Satan rebelled, but not in the human world. Right. Okay.
But the reason Eve sinned was because the devil was in form of a snake and he tricked her into eating the fruit that God said not to.
Yep. I agree with that. But nothing happened until Adam ate of the fruit. And then the eyes of both of them were opened. So the command was directly given to Adam. Okay?
Yeah, so that's how sin got started.
Mm-hmm. Notice in Genesis 2, it's in your notes here, Genesis 2, 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Remember, God was not being restrictive. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And then Genesis 3, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, those are all lies from the serpent that Jackie was just talking about, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. I bolded that. Then, when he ate, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. That's when sin entered the human race, the earth, okay? Not new information as far as we're concerned, because we've already been in Genesis 3 for quite a while. Number two, what's amazing is sin passes on right away. Sin passes on right away, as shown in the first son, whose name was Cain, okay? Sin, and I guess the word is passes there that we're filling in. Sin began in the garden, but notice it wasn't like it was a slow evolution of sin. Right? It wasn't like all of a sudden Adam and Eve had a little argument, and then the next generation they argued a little more, and you know, pretty soon someone slapped somebody or hit somebody or took their ball or whatever. What happened? No, you go to the very first child that was born, evidences the problem of sin. He murders his brother.
Why?
Because he was angry because Abel's offering was accepted by God and his was not. Okay? All right? So, and by the way, that was just evidence of the heart of sin. Do you understand that? That sin comes from the heart. It just evidenced that the heart of sin is already there. We're all infected with sin. Let's look here in Genesis 4, 6 through 8. So the Lord said to Cain, and again, this is in your notes, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. God is instructing him. This is before the murder, right? And then now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Okay? Notice here in their notes again, Cain was a sinner because sin passed down from Adam, the first sinner, right? And notice in Romans 5:12, it's in your notes, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. You can underline that, all right? One man, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay, everyone's a sinner. How do you know? Well, if you die, that's a verification because death came because of sin, right? Okay, so Cain was a sinner because, and by the way, Abel was a sinner too, yes? Death passed upon all men. Sin. All men became sinners because Adam sinned, all right? So both of his sons were sinners. Abel approached God humbly, offering that blood sacrifice, understanding that he was not right with God. And understanding that that's the way to approach God. Cain apparently says, you know what? I'm fine, and I'll do the what I want, the way I want, with God.
What I want.
Yeah. So he still was religious, yes. He offered to God, but he offered his way, what he wanted, okay? That was evidence of a sinful heart, as opposed to a humble heart of Abel. Right away, back to your notes again, right away, sin was fully present. People didn't need many generations or lots of time to grow sinful. They also didn't need bad teaching. you know, bad teaching, a bad neighborhood, or anything else to make them sinful. A lot of people blame their sin on their environment. The answer is on that. Now, a bad environment might give you more opportunity to sin, but we sin because of what's inside us, not what's outside of us, okay? Cain, because he was a sinner and refused God's help, was able to murder his brother Abel. Sin damages our hearts. It makes them sinful. And sin, all sin comes out of our hearts because we come from Adam. We were infected with sin. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart, you might want to circle that. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Where is the sin problem? Is it the Republican or Democratic Party? Well, yes. The answer is yes to both of those. Okay, but where does the sin come from? Our own hearts, right? Sin starts in the heart. We sin because we're sinful. We're already infected with sin. We're already bad. And we like to sin. We want to sin. We respond in sin. Matthew 15, Jesus teaches this way, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. You might want to underline that. Come from the heart. And they defile a man. For out of the heart, you might want to underline that. Out of the heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And what else? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. The devil doesn't make you do it. He might tempt you to do it. He might help you think about it in your heart, but you do it. I do it. Sin comes from within. Our problem is not other people. Okay? One of the concepts of biblical counseling is the solution is dealing with your heart. Okay? It's not, well, it's my wife or my husband or my children or my parents or my boss or the environment or the government or whatever. The issue is sin, and it starts in my heart. It's my response to those people, and that response is in my heart. That's where it starts. Okay? Third point here. Sin expands as time goes on. Okay, sin expands as time goes on. And we're talking about here a guy named Lamech. I think there's more than one Lamech too, by the way. As there are more people that are born on the earth, at least seven generations now, if you count Adam and Eve as the first generation, all of those people have the same sin-infected hearts. And some sin terribly. They're all sinners at that point. One is a great, 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 if you work in genealogy, you get used to this stuff. 5 G's or whatever. Grandson of Cain, called Lamech. He shows that sin is still alive and well by doing even worse, going even beyond what Cain had done. Lamech defies God's plan for marriage and marries two women. And he apparently kills, it's one or two men, depending on how you do that. He's describing it twice, but it could potentially be two men. Okay? Sin doesn't go away. It spreads and gets worse as more and more people are born and more people reject God. Okay? It's only as people approach God rightly that does sin get resolved. Okay? Flip your sheet over here. Notice the passage there. I'm not going to read it for you, but there's the descendancy. I wrote, got a little descendants list there. First generation, second generation. Third generation, fourth, fifth. I guess it should be sixth and seventh. I originally didn't have Adam in there, and I went down and I didn't. So, yeah, it should be sixth and seventh, okay? Seventh from sixth generations down from Adam. It's the seventh generation. I put it this way. By the way, most likely, and we'll talk about this next week, most likely all of these were still alive. I know it's hard for us to fathom in our mind, but these guys didn't die off. Adam lived to be how old? I think it was 969 years, okay? We're going to talk about that next week. So these guys are all alive. So they're around seeing Adam, and they're around seeing Cain who killed Abel, and they're around seeing Seth and so on. Okay, well, we're going to get into that next week. It is not unlikely that Lamech knew Adam and Cain personally. Okay, and we'll have some charts and stuff for you next week. Now, here's the solution. The second point. The problem is evident, and you might want to... The problem we know is sin, right? The curse, the problem, the problem is sin. The solution is the seed, if I can say it that way. Remember, the seed of the woman. And you got to kind of keep that in your mind. The number one, by the way, the solution is God continues his plan to keep the truth going, and by giving those who believe and follow him, God keeps his plan and team going, okay? It'll make more sense as we go. But number one, first we see God's seed of promise. Okay, and we've already talked about that before, but I want to highlight it here. It's our first knowledge of God's plan to send a Savior. Okay, that's the first time God brings it up to people. Was the day Adam and Eve sinned, he goes in and addresses it, and he says, "This." Well, I'll read it here. Genesis 3:15. "And I will put enmity," that's violent opposition, "between you and the woman," talking about the serpent, who represents Satan, okay? "And between your seed and her seed." So the descendants of both, you say Satan didn't have children, that's correct. But Cain, for example, was of the wicked one, the Bible says. He's spiritually, if you will, from Satan. "He shall bruise your head. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and you shall bruise his heel." That's the first thing. It's not fully explained. Okay, that's all Adam and Eve know. That somehow, through the offspring of mankind, a woman bearing, that's their victory. That's the promised seed, okay? The second one here is God's sacrificial payment. God's sacrificial payment. Which one of those is... It's like they're having a party upstairs, huh? Okay. Yeah. Sounds kind of like a tuba dragging across the floor. Number two here, it's the first picture of the blood sacrifice that would come, right? The blood of goats and lambs did not save anybody all the way through the Old Testament. It looked forward to the time when the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, would come. So Genesis 3:21, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." They apparently were big, long robes, if you understand what a tunic is. They weren't skimpy, you know, Tarzan loincloths or whatever even. A whole nother topic about clothing and stuff. But he clothed them. That was the sacrificial payment. And that seems to be where Cain got the idea that the blood sacrifices are able, the blood sacrifice was required, okay, to approach God. Everyone should have known that, because God not only did something, when he did something in creation, it sets a pattern. 6-day work week, marriage is one man and one woman together for life. Marriage primarily is for procreation as well as companionship, and procreation is primary. All those things are there. Male leadership in the household, things like that, all are established there, much without saying something. Sir?
Just jumped at me, though, just reading it. Cain was the one
who first. Yeah, they seem to have done it together.
Yeah. Upstairs, right?
That's really...
Yeah, well, and that's what I was saying.
And you're right. Then he had a chance to, well, do it again.
Right. And we mentioned, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, but Cain offered, he was being religious,
right. But
on his own terms. And that's what a lot of people do. They want to approach God on their terms. No, God, I'll give you my Ten Commandments. Let me share you, you know. Or they form God in their own mind, in like Romans chapter 1. They worship the creature rather than the creator, right? As God is defined. So very good. Yep, Cain was religious. Yeah. Well, but it's inaccurate obedience too. Yeah, the devil is good in mixing, isn't he? Because he had Eve thinking that, well, if I ate of this tree, I'm only doing good. It'll make me wise. It's good for food, you know. So, yes, he's the deceiver. Okay, number three now is Adam and Eve's anticipated Savior. Okay? Now, I use that term, I would almost do this. Put quotation marks around Savior. You can't read into it. They'd never heard the name Jesus. They never heard the name Messiah. But they knew that the seed of the woman would somehow deliver them from Satan, ultimately, okay? Now let's look at this. I'm running out of space here. Let's see if I can use this, okay? They have three sons that are mentioned. We know they have more. We'll talk about that next week more also. But first is Cain. And his name means acquired. Acquired or possession. Remember he said Adam knew his wife. She conceived and she bore him a son and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Genesis 4:1, right? Now, let me read a little bit from your notes here. I guess I have that in your notes there. Now, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. And his name means acquired, okay? It is possible, and you might want to underline circle X the word possible, because this is only speculation, and I'm telling you that on purpose, that Adam and Eve thought of Cain as being the seed that would wound the serpent's head, right? Seed of the woman. Here's the seed of the woman, right? When Cain was born, they called him given or acquired, understanding that he was a gift from God. But possibly the gift, if you'll promise, in Genesis 3:15, Cain approached God on his own terms, his own works, his own way, not God terms, by believing that he was a sinner and that God required a blood sacrifice. Okay, now, that was number one, Cain. The second son is Abel. It seems funny, but his name means breath or nothing. I don't know what the significance of that. Maybe he was little. I don't know, like a pipsqueak kind of thing or something.
Speculation here is the possibility that if Adam and Eve, knowing motherhood as I do in some regard, mothers kept saying, putting the emphasis on Cain being the one acquired from God, now had another son. He's a lesser, you know, he's not as...
Maybe he's not the answer.
He's not the answer, yeah.
You know, because I already have an answer, but now here's two. Yeah, and we don't really know.
No.
In fact, we're kind of building this up, and the reason why is because of what they say about Seth. We're saying all these things to get there. But let me read what's next to Abel here. It's breath or nothing. Abel was the one who humbly approached God on his God's terms. Now, maybe that's what breath or nothing is. It's kind of a humility idea, okay? Rather than this one's nothing. Only a guess. He was offering a blood sacrifice in faith. He believed in God and obeyed God. It is impossible. Possible to know for sure, but Cain and Abel might have been twins. The text leaves that open. That's just a side note, not a point of discussion, really. Do you know who the first triplets might have been, at least mentioned in the Bible? Could be the sons of Noah. Yeah, we don't know for sure. We're not sure. Doesn't require the text. Anyway, the third one then is Seth. Now, one of the things we do not know here is how much time has passed. How old were Cain and Abel when they offered sacrifices? Offerings, I should say. They were old enough to offer. Old enough to take care of the ground. Old enough to take care of sheep. Right? So they were old enough to be responsible for themselves before God. Okay? Other than that, we don't know. Were there other children before Seth? I would say most likely, yes. Okay? They grew up. They were older. Were you saying that Adam and Eve didn't have any more children before then? We're not saying that. It doesn't say it either way, okay? So when Seth is born, it's the idea that here's another son, but it's not necessarily all the children they had at this point, okay? Seth here, I'm reading next to Seth, and then I'll read underneath it. Adam's naming of his third son seems to indicate that he knew that Cain was not to be God's representative. Okay? Cain had rebelled and refused to get right with God and murdered his righteous brother. Cain was still living a life of rebellion. Okay? Genesis 4, 25 and 26 right there in your notes. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed. Remember before God, I have acquired. Well, now God has appointed. Now that to me is key. God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. Now, did he not have other children? Most likely he did. Okay, and we'll talk about that more next week. Not in proof, but in concept. Did I read that already? For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Okay, so there seems to be some spiritual connection to Seth, not just a physical connection. It's not just, oh, we need another son. Again, we'll see next week, it says that Adam had sons and daughters. You'll see that throughout. That's just kind of a key point.
It's a pot. Again, possibility. We're not saying one way or the other, but when Cain killed Abel, that was a flag to Adam saying, this is not my son. This is not the seed. This is not the promise.
Potentially so. Either the promise or someone that represents God. And I say that kind of loosely, but at the same time, Abel did. Last week, Abel was classified as a prophet. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, you're the same group of people that has shed the blood of the prophets from righteous Abel all the way to Zechariah, by the way, who was the last prophet to be killed in the Old Testament. A to Z, literally. You're the same group of people that is killed, right? You're just like Cain. There's the same group of people that persecute the righteous. And they're righteous because of their faith, not because of their works. Okay? But they do good works because of their faith. All right? Let me read the second paragraph in the bottom here. It says, God gave another son to carry on the righteous way. That's what it appears. Seth is appointed by God to continue the line of the believing and righteous. God continued to provide a physical lineage from which Jesus the Savior would come. Right? Because it's the seed of the woman. That implies the physical descendancy. And also a spiritual lineage. Is it possible to be an unsaved person but be part of the lineage, of the physical lineage, if you will, of Jesus Christ? The answer, oh yes. Okay? You follow the lineage in Matthew. Or Luke goes all the way back to Adam. Matthew starts at Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. Okay? all kinds of sinners. But there's a spiritual lineage as well, it seems, that God always has. Remember when Elijah was there, and was it Elijah or Elisha? Elijah. And he said, there's nobody left. And God says, I have still 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There's a righteous lineage. Okay, a spiritual lineage, if you will, of those who, those sinners, they're still sinners, believed in God's sacrifice and followed Him. Jesus eventually was born and died as God's sacrifice for all people. There's that physical lineage, ultimately descended from David, right? God continues to help those that believe in Him, even to this day, as the spiritual lineage. The Bible says that Abraham would be the father of many nations. Paul picks that up. Not only that, he said there's a physical lineage of Abraham, but there's also a spiritual lineage of Abraham. Those that believe God, and then it's accounted to him for righteousness. So in that sense, we're all sons of Abraham, okay? Even though we may not be Jewish, which is a physical lineage. It seems that though Seth and his son It seems that through Seth and his son Enos, or Enosh, depending on what translation, the people on the earth were encouraged to begin calling on the name of the Lord. Now listen, a lot of people tie that into being saved. That is not true. Okay? Even in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You look at the previous verse, the same Lord is Lord upon all who call on Him, both the Jew and the Greek, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed, right? Belief comes before calling. Calling, another way to say that is praying. You can translate the word calling as praying. Praying is an act of a believer. Believers. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. It's a process. It's a characteristic. It's a habit. It's a relationship with God. Okay? Mankind. There was a segment of mankind that were walking with God while the rest of them were not. And it seems like all this time, most of them just ignored God. Okay? Then men began calling on the name of the Lord. Okay? That phrase is tied into those that believe, or if you will, already believe in God and are praying to Him. How can they call on Him in whom they have not believed, right? It indicates an ongoing relationship with God. That's, you might want to underline that part, ongoing relationship with God. God used Seth and Enos to help others know and to help others walk with God. Okay? So, if you will, a representation of God. By the way, we can go back and say we know for sure Adam and Eve had children because Lamech had a wife, Cain had a wife, all of that before Seth shows up.
So were they, Adam and Eve, like Jewish?
Renaud says there was no... Jewish is an ethnic term. There were no ethnic groups at that time. We're going to talk about that when we get to Noah. I can't wait. I've been,
One of the things that you can see in Scripture is the fact that there's no nations, just families.
Right. Until Abraham.
Until Abraham.
Well, actually, till the Tower of Babel. I'll take that back. We'll back up a little bit.
Okay, can I...
And the nations were divided primarily by language, not physical characteristics. Those probably came later.
Let me ask you something, Pastor. So you... Pastor 25 years, so you probably read the whole Bibles and several different Bibles and everything, right?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Do you learn something every time you read back to the Bible that you weren't in before?
I learn and relearn. And learn and relearn. I forget a lot, too.
But
so.
Even if you've been through several Bibles, the whole...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All
no.
Books
you see stuff that you... Oh, I didn't realize this was here, and I know I've read it because I've been through it, but I've never seen that before.
Well, I don't remember.
What seems to be interesting to me is that this is the first time this phrase shows up, the men calling on the name of the Lord. That's the first time that's what. Cain and Abel, what happened? It'd be interesting to try to understand what happened to Cain and Abel after they were expelled from the garden. Did they still communicate with God?
You mean Adam and Eve?
Adam and Eve. Yeah. Well, you got to see the thing is, Seth did not just all of a sudden believe.
Right, right.
He had a parent that they communicated with God.
Yeah, he was not righteous because of who he was.
No.
He was righteous. He would have had to have been righteous because of his faith as well, right. Just like Abel.
He had to be taught.
But somehow Adam understood that this one would do that.
Right.
It's not a John the Baptist thing, but it's almost like that. It makes you think that way anyway. And there's nothing that says he was, had the spirit from his birth or whatever, nothing like that. But somehow Adam knew that there needed to be someone to carry on the truth of God in word and action, and Seth was that person. And there seemed to be lots of other people on the earth by that time.
And Seth passed that on through his lineage.
Yeah, and not that other people couldn't, they just didn't. So, and also, remember, Cain and Abel seemed to have direct access with God. That somehow went away. Somewhere along the line, yeah, then people didn't have direct access, they just could pray to God, and all that too, so.
Well, that was my point, dude, that when you come to Seth, here he is, he's calling on God. It says,
right. And it might even be a new thing as opposed to people not, hey, we need to talk to God instead of just being our own people. So that's the key thing here. Sin and God's solution to the sin, it's a process that takes us all the way to the cross, but it starts here. Understand that God mediates, intervenes, accomplishes his work through sinful people throughout all of history. There's prophets, there's Melchizedek, sometime we'll get to. There's, different people. Abraham, he just knocks on Abraham's door and, this doesn't happen, but he knocks on Abraham's door in Ur and say, hey, pack your bags. You're leaving. any idea where? Pack your bags. Just started, and he was chosen by God, nothing on his account. He was just a dude in Ur, kind of thing. So we'll get into that as we get into it. But understand, God continues to do this. So that's why it's a beginning, not an end. And on purpose, it's like sin is there. God is at work to deal with that sin. He has something looking forward, the blood sacrifice, still the faith. You come to God humbly by faith, and your works are righteous because of your faith, if you will. But there's also, as we looked at last week, sinful people that are of the wicked one by choice. They don't want anything to do with God. We coexist. And guess what? Wicked people hate God and his righteousness, and so they hate people that follow God. Have you noticed? Yeah, don't read the newspaper if you don't want to see that, right?
So. Well, just anybody who's names the name of Christ today, regardless of what the affiliation they have, the Christians are stupid, or the believers are stupid. They can't contribute anything to society.
You're idiots and you're wrong. What's your question?
Yeah.
So yeah, but nothing. No surprise. They hated you. They hated me. They'll hate you, right? So, good. Next week, we're covering, I don't know how many generations are in chapter 5, but we need that to tie us in. And there's several observations we'll make, and we'll also jump back and talk about Jubal and
Jabal
and, those other Tubal Cain and all those. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we understand that we are sinners and that we need the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else to be right with you. And we just express anew that he is our Savior and we have nothing to offer. But Lord, help us to walk with you, and may our works be righteous as we seek to obey you and believe your word and do your works. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. When we're done.